Wayfair's Labor Day clearance is back, and we're bringing end-of-summer deals right to your doorstep. Now through September 3rd, score up to 70% off all things home. Get in on low prices while temperatures are still high, like up to 70% off rugs, up to 50% off bedroom furniture, up to 50% off dining furniture, and up to 60% off living room seating. And the savings don't stop there. End summer with can't-miss surprise flash deals, all with fast shipping right to your doorstep. Save big on everything you need with every style for every home for every budget. Modern? Check. Classic? Check. Coastal grandma with a hint of boho glam? Check and check. Wayfair's got everything you need to make your home way more you. Shop Wayfair's Labor Day clearance now through September 3rd for up to 70% off. Because at Wayfair, new season means new savings.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
And win. Paul Merriman, he of Ask Paul fame, is with me in studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
And welcome back after your holliers.
Thank you.
Now, we want to talk all things pensions today.
Yes.
The first thing is auto-enrolment is looming, and there are a couple of concerns.
Yes, there's a good few concerns, in fairness. Look, number one, I think to talk about the pro of this, you're going to get a lot more people to have pension planning sorted by the time they get to retirement age that otherwise wouldn't be. So I think the kind of thing behind auto-enrolment is really good. It's a positive thing. I don't think we've gone far enough in some measures. I don't think it's a good scheme for those on the higher rate of income tax. So anyone listening this morning that's earning over €42,000, you're better off in the traditional pension plan, yeah. Company pension plan, personal pension plan, or a PRSA.
You get your tax relief.
You get your much bigger tax relief. So I'd encourage any employers that are out there that are kind of waiting for auto-enrolment to come in. You know, it's going to be better for those on the higher rate of income tax. So that's one thing to consider. Also, they've kind of failed in an opportunity to look after females. From a woman's point of view, typically speaking, Irish Life did really good research on this recently where they looked at 130,000 schemes in their books. And it's women have to work 8 years longer. They're typically over 30% underfunded compared to men. The reason for that is typically speaking, they spend more time off work with having maternity leave and raising kids. And also we have the, everyone will talk about this, and this is really well highlighted, is the gender pay gap. But this actually creates a pension pay gap then for females, yeah, as well, which is unfortunate. What I think the government should have done is if somebody is in, a female is in auto-enrolment, if they go on maternity leave, the government should have continued to pay their pension contribution in further into the auto-enrolment scheme, but they, yeah, don't. And that may have kind of given the opportunity for the employer to do the same and had a really good conversation. So there's one or two things that have been missed. The investment decision behind this as well.
We'll talk about that in a moment, but before we do, the question of this trying to address the pension,
yes,
poverty of people in older, yeah, age, people on lower incomes,
yes,
can they afford auto-enrolment?
You know, I think the problem here is that it's people between 23 years of age and 60, Pat, and over €20,000. So typically speaking, this is aimed at those people on the lower income thresholds, yeah, and with a cost of living crisis, interest rates still exceptionally high across the Eurozone, and rent being at an all-time high as well, I don't know whether these people are going to stay. They're going to automatically be enrolled in the scheme. I think as soon as they're given the opportunity to get out, they're going to get out. And I think, you know, there was never a good time to launch maybe auto-enrolment, but this is a particularly bad time. But, you know, the government have been under pressure for years to do it. They were, yeah, too late. And they're bringing in a really awkward time. So I'm just not confident that the scheme is going to be as successful as we've seen in other jurisdictions like the UK and Australia in particular.
Now, you mentioned the investment side,
yes,
of this, because the idea, all of this money goes into various, yeah, pension providers.
Yes.
And there's an investment and it's supposed to multiply the money in time. Yeah. That's the whole theory.
Yes.
But,
yeah, I mean, the advice proposition here is extremely important. You know, there's been calls for maybe just one big fund, a lot of equity in it, because typically speaking, over a long period of time, as in two or three decades, 20 to 30 years, equity, stocks and shares will outperform all other asset classes, i.e. cash, property, bonds, etc. So they could have maybe come up with one simpler system in that we have maybe one or two or three funds rated in different risk profiles for people's appetite. But they've spread it around, which is going to give a lot of choice and a lot of misinformation. So they haven't made that piece simple for people. So it'll be simple to get into the scheme, more difficult to invest, I feel, for people.
I mean, one of the things we talked about on this program was the idea of having, if you like, you buy units in a scheme.
Yeah, exactly.
A big scheme.
Yeah.
And your idea is, I suppose, better again, that you might have three large schemes,
yes,
not 20,
yeah,
but three large schemes, and they would be competitive with each other
as well. They'd be competitive and they'd be priced well as well for the consumer as well, because we all know that charges have a massive impact on the performance of a pension plan over time as well. So it should be literally as simple as A, B, C. A is high risk, B medium, C low risk, and let the person decide where they sit. Again, though, if somebody is 20 or 30 years away from retirement, in my opinion, professional opinion, it should be an option A, which is in my theory, the higher risk, because they've got 20 or 30 years.
Historically, it's always going to go
up. So it's trying to provide that education, because if you go into the wrong fund, you sit in C, the low risk fund, you're going to miss potentially tens of thousands for retirement, which will have a massive impact on your retirement.
Now, we've a number of questions coming in. Let's see. I'm 36. I have no pension. Just bought my first property last year and I'd like now to start a pension. Where do I start? How much should I be putting away each month? My company won't be contributing until they are forced to by the government.
Yeah, you see, and this is the problem, Pat, that a lot of people are taking, especially the employers. First of all, congrats on getting on the property ladder. You can set up what's called a PRSA or a personal pension plan at any stage. The employer is obliged to actually currently offer you a PRSA through payroll. They don't have to contribute to it, but it means they have to be able to deduct it from your salary and pay it over to the pension provider. That's current legislation. So if your employer currently isn't offering you a PRSA, speak to the employer, let them know they legally have to. But like I said, you can set up, get a pension consultation with a certified financial planner, get the pension put in. I'd say after getting into a property, the way interest rates are, and you've probably spent a lot of cash in the last year moving into a house, started at something, even if it was 100, 200 euro a month, maybe 50 euro a week, get your tax relief on that as well. You probably mightn't feel the impact, and that's a good place to start, and then maybe increase it every couple of years.
A quick one about the PRSA that your employer must offer you, even if they don't contribute to it. Where does that money go? I mean, is it safe? Because we've heard of pension funds collapsing.
No, it would be. So the employer will pick a PRSA provider, Pat. So it could be Irish Life, Zurich, Standard Life, New Ireland, etc. And then they will have a pension person that will come in and be able to bring you through the options. And again, very simple. You'll have a risk profile. You pick a fund in it. And that's your money. And even if you move employer, the PRSA moves with you or can move into another company pension scheme. It's a really flexible contract. It's actually one of the best contracts brought out. But the problem is the industry complicate this for consumers because you have too many contracts.
Yeah, here's one related to that. I have a 1 year pension from a previous job already. In my current job, I don't have a pension. I'm only in my early 20s right now. Should I leave that pension where it is or move it and start a new one?
You should probably keep it where it is for the time being. And then you could set up a personal pension again or a PRSA yourself personally. More than likely, you're probably going to end up in a company pension scheme at some stage and then later on maybe move that old pension into it. But that's a really bespoke question for depending on what age you are, because the previous pension plan, they've only got a year in the employment. But let's say you have 20 years, Pat, in a company pension scheme and you're 50 and you leave that company. Let's say you work for a big tech company. You can actually access that pension from 50 years of age under legislation, and would help you maybe clear down the mortgage, put kids through college. So the pensions are extremely flexible once you know the legislation behind each one.
I'm 53, put a maximum 7% into pension and the company puts in 8%.
Well,
with my bonuses, I earn 100k a year. How many euro can I add via an AVC to avail of tax relief?
Okay, so you're looking at the 25%. So the employer and the employee, so you're just taking in the employees, what that person's contributed. I think we said
7%.
So about 80% can actually go back into the pension at the moment. And that will increase again once you get to 55 years of age. So you could keep it going. The problem here as well, though, is be careful with AVCs and putting too much into pensions. The problem is when you put an AVC into the pension plan, you might not ever see that money again, as you might die before you draw your AVC. So sometimes when a pension needs to fit into the financial plan, to make sure that you're going to actually need the AVC to top up the pension. I come across so many clients that are overfunded their pensions and they're never going to see the money and they're having maybe less of a quality lifestyle now.
Yeah.
So it's about balance here. So just be very, very careful on overfunding as well.
I have a pension I pay into since I was in my mid-20s. It's not much, but it's something I've moved from my last two jobs to my current one. But none of the employers have ever paid into it. What do I do with my pension when auto-enrollment starts? Do I add to the one I have and expect my employer To start paying into that or start a whole new one?
Actually, the problem here for this person is that if they're currently paying into a pension plan, they won't be getting auto-enrollment. So this is the thing. So even if your employer hasn't got a pension plan in place and you have a personal pension plan, the one thing for the auto-enrollment is that you have no pension. It doesn't mean you have no company pension. So in that case, they won't go into auto-enrollment. So that's a concern. You want to be getting advice around whether to stop the personal pensions and then get back into the auto-enrollment scheme next year.
I'm looking to save for a pension right now, but I do want to save and try to get the best returns from it. Currently, I have my money in the credit union. I want to move it. Where would be the best place to start? A 3 or 5 year deposit savings account?
There's no need to put money on deposit for 3 to 5 years. You need to get it invested. You're not going to get a good enough return on deposits. And actually, deposit rates are going to start coming down again. We've always been quite poor in Ireland. But as the European Central Bank decreases interest rates, you see these deposit accounts struggle. So if you're looking to put your money away for 3 to 5 years, you'd want to consider a little bit in cash, a little bit invested. And what you really need here is probably a financial planning consultation to look at the short, medium and long term here. If you're putting money into the credit union, you might stop that and divert that to the pension and then just look after the money that's in the current credit union a little bit better.
I've only 8 or 9 years left working. Is the auto-enrollment thing worthwhile for me? I'll have the Irish state pension and a UK pension, plus around 130k in a UK private pension.
You're automatically going to be enrolled. So let's see how you feel at the end of the first year. You're not going to really have an option. You're automatically enrolled and then you have to wait to get over it.
And if you can afford it, you're getting government
money
for nothing.
If you can afford it, you're going to get the company, you're going to pay it, the government are going to pay it. Now it ramps up every few years as well. So it starts off quite low, but it does ramp up. So yeah, there's a lot of free money here for that listener, in fairness. But again, if the listener's on the high rate of income tax, you might want to start a private pension rather than an auto-enrollment scheme.
I'm a 35-year-old taxi man. I find it hard to start a pension because no company will work with self-employed drivers. Any suggestions?
I don't understand why he says no company will work with self-employed employment. So you can get a pension plan set up tomorrow as a self-employed taxi driver. You don't need to be an employee or employed. So yeah, I think what they're probably saying is a self-employed person is not going to be auto-enrolled. So you're not going to get a company as a taxi driver. So yeah, just start your own pension. Start a small PRSA or personal pension plan and get yourself set up ASAP.
Can you ask your guest why there's a percentage charge and not a fee for pension providers? The charges are colossal.
Yeah, the charges are colossal. I think they're mostly... So you have to look at the fund manager charges the fee. So the fund manager is trying to manage, depending on what your appetite is trying to usually manage, a large investment fund. So we usually fund the funds, typically speaking. There's a lot of work and energy that goes into actually managing that money. You know, if you look at one of the funds we use, has a couple of billion in it. The fund manager will charge a fee for managing that money, and they charge it when the fund's up and they charge it when the fund's down, because it's a quite expensive thing to do. But like I said, you have to be competitive. So sometimes the broker will have a charge, the life company will have a charge, the fund management will have a charge. So if you're fearful about your charges, shop around, have a chat with people and see can you get them reduced. So it is a competitive environment out there at the moment.
Well, we could be here all day, I can tell you, Paul, with the questions. Paul Merriman, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.